God, we thank you that you are the way maker and you're the miracle worker. God, we thank you that you are doing miracles each and every day in our lives, Father, and I praise you and thank you for those miracles that we can see. And even for those things that we don't see happening, God, or those things that we don't even realize what a miracle they are, Father, we thank you. God, we thank you that you give us life, you give us breath. God, we thank you that you give us this encouragement to press on and press in. Father, I thank you for the opportunities we have to just love each other, and what a miracle that is. God, I thank you for the tangible things. God, I pray that today as we are just continuing to walk through this idea of our gifts, God, that we would have some form of revelation about something for ourselves or for each other. And God, I pray that today would be an encouraging and a blessed day. So God, we thank you. We know that it's going to be a good day. And God, we know it's going to be a good week this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Thanks, music team. Do you guys hear me okay, or did my microphone turn? That's good? Okay. I feel like it's me. Maybe my ears are plugged. I feel like I was swimming. Now it feels better. Maybe I did adjust it. Maybe it was you guys, not me. Well, we've had quite a week in our house. We found out last week that the people that were buying our house in our rent-to-own agreement, he actually, in fact, was getting transferred. So they were no longer buying our house. And we're sitting there and trying to figure out what we're going to do. So we started the listing process to get our house on the market because things are going well with the housing market now in Lloydminster. And so we started listing it, and our realtor said, you probably should do some touch-up painting, which in turn had Stacy race to Lloydminster on Friday without me because I had to race to Regina yesterday with Seth. So, and then I wanted to be around Friday with Mel and Sharon, so we kind of divided and conquered, and she got home late last night and from painting and getting the house ready and doing all that fun stuff that you do when you're trying to sell a house. But it's good. We know our house is sold already. We're trusting for that. But we're believing, and we know it's sold. And we're excited to get the offer that's going to be coming, and we're excited to be done with that chapter. And just so you're wondering, I also have coffee or syrup on my face. And I touched it, and my finger stuck. This is going to be weird. Just bear with me a second. It's going to drive me crazy. Sorry. That's right, I'm sweet. The only person that's going to find out how sweet I am there is my wife. Okay. And maybe if my kids give me a kiss on the cheek. But that means I wouldn't wash my face till bedtime, so we're not going to do that. I got to get rid of that. I think it's gone. So we're in this series called Reaching Out, as I've mentioned a few times, and we've been going through the idea of where's your gift. And we talked about, for the first week of this series, of giving, increasing, succeeding, and prospering. And the church, according to the New Testament, the job of the church is to equip the saints for the work of your ministry, right? It's not for me to go around and beat my drum or build my kingdom, but it's to effectively do your ministry wherever you go, whether it be here in these walls or out there, wherever your ministry takes you. That is our job, is to equip you to do that. And every one of us in this room is a minister of the gospel. And the ministry needs to go forth in many of the areas of the world. And we've talked about this every week, that we need good, godly, new covenant Christians in the areas of business, right? We need to be influential in the business world as believers. We need to have people who are engaged and heavily involved in the medical profession. We need new covenant believers in the medical industry. We need to have new covenant believers who are engaged in politics, whether it be local, like town, city politics, school division, school boards, provincial, federal, and I would even take that one step further and within the international political world. Maybe representatives in the UN, even though they're not a political organization, they're not a governing body, we still would, it would be good to have people there that are new covenant believers so that we can try to influence the world everywhere we go. We should have people who are new covenant believers involved in the arts, in music, in magazines, in newspapers, in websites, I guess, now more than newspapers, but we need people in all areas influencing the world for Jesus. Because Jesus said, occupy till I come back. That means that we're supposed to take up ground, we're supposed to be advancing the kingdom until he comes. And not sitting on our bums, doing nothing, drinking our, well now we're all, a bunch of us are drinking lattes right now, so not sitting on our bums, drinking our coffee, reading the paper, talking to our neighbor about how the world's falling apart. But we're advancing the kingdom for Jesus. That's our job, isn't it? I wasn't very loud, people. Are we supposed to be sitting on our butts or advancing the kingdom? Advancing the kingdom until Jesus comes back. Not sitting there thinking, oh, I can't wait for Jesus to come back. You know, this world's just gone to heck in a handbasket. I don't know. It's gone crazy. I just want Jesus to come back. It has gone crazy. But I want Jesus to come back. But I need to do my job as a believer and advance the kingdom until he comes. I need to be influential in each area of my life until Jesus comes. I need to do my part and ensure that I am taking up space, taking up real estate for him. And I'm advancing the kingdom and I'm building his kingdom right where I'm at. So we're talking about reaching out. And the best way as a church to reach out is to know what our gifts are and how to use them. And I want this to be a season of growth for each and every one of us. And this series, as I've mentioned a few times, is different than most of the series I'll have preached. These are different messages than most you will hear me preach. Because we look at a couple verses, but we really talk about practical things around each gifting. Through research and just studying the word, and these are just practical things for you. So we've talked about things like the fivefold ministry appointments. We talk about the prophet, the apostle, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist. And John mentioned to me, that's a common thing for lots of evangelical, charismatic type churches to talk about. It's something fairly common, and you know, it's preached about frequently in these types of churches, these types of circles. But something a lot of churches lack on is actually pressing into the other gifts. And then people start to feel like, well, this is what I feel like. You know, I'm a hospitality, and I just feel like, you know, I feel like I'm just less. And in fact, you're not less. Your role is so critical in the church and in the growth and the expansion of the kingdom of God. And never think that any of your gifts are less or lacking, but just continue to grow in them and continue to develop them. So last week we started talking about leadership and administration. And I made jokes that don't tell Stacy, but she was already listening to it. So as soon as she got here, she told me that she had heard my message. So I couldn't even play dumb. And this week we're going to talk about words of wisdom and words of knowledge. And I don't have a lot of space on my title block to put that really long title. But it's words of wisdom and words of knowledge. And then following this week, we're going to be talking about things like giving, mercy and helps, craftsmanship, intercession, hospitality, exhortation, interpretation, and gifts of healings. And I'm excited because I think those don't get talked about enough within the church. And those critical roles, we need to understand that they are important. So we're going to jump into a couple of verses here that we're going to read, and then we're going to just talk about the practical applications about these gifts. So Colossians 2:1-6 says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." And then the next one here we're going to talk about, and this is kind of the premise and what we read every week for the first number of weeks, and I'm just going to actually read one verse from this. And it's 1 Corinthians 12:8. It says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit." And if you remember, that's where we talked about the prophet and the apostolic and all these different gifts. And I've read that so much to you guys, I felt like we'll just grab the one verse. So, gifts of words of wisdom. It's the supernatural ability to bring clarity and understanding to a situation or to a circumstance. We'll jump to the next slide, Nora, instead of drinking your coffee. I'm sorry, I couldn't. You're doing a wonderful job, Nora. Yes, we should thank. They do a great job every week for me, and I harass them every week for it. But this is often through the insight into how to apply a truth of Scripture, and it speaks of a practical way to do that. The gift of words of wisdom is the anointing to minister words of comfort, consolation, encouragement, or counsel to others. And a person with the gift of words of wisdom is often given insight by the Lord to help others to understand how to follow Christ, how to follow Jesus in their own life circumstances. This is a very practical gift and something that individuals need, especially in that time of crisis. It is a practical gift that we should be, if we have, utilizing to encourage the body of Christ. It's an important gift. It's one that helps others both perceive and to act in response to God's direction. A word of wisdom is a divine impartation of direction or understanding for a person. It's not just I got a gut feeling. But it's actually a divine impartation into our life from Jesus about some direction that somebody may need. It gives wisdom that helps others in their next steps. And if you feel that you have this gift of words of wisdom, that's which one I'm on, right? Yeah, words of wisdom. I'm not getting confused. Lean into these types of things. So these are the things that you need to lean into. Be spiritually perceptive to the needs of others. Take time to come alongside others who are discouraged and hurting. Don't just flippantly say, "Well, have you thought about this?" But come alongside them, because when we come alongside and we journey with somebody, and our words hold a lot more value, don't they? Don't they? Like, I think if Joe from down the street just told me, "Hey, don't be a dummy, you should do this," wouldn't it be a lot better if he came alongside and said, "Dave, what's going on? Okay, well, what have you thought about this? This is what I feel the Lord impressing on me for you." And come alongside and walk with them and journey with them. Strengthen them. Provide comfort to them. And we also should be pointing people to Jesus and his promises for them. His word is full of promises, aren't they? Isn't it? And we should be standing and living our life on those promises that are given to us. They're already yes and amen. We don't have to wonder. We know. And when we point to the promises, and we point people to Jesus, it allows us a lot more opportunity, a better opportunity to effectively communicate what Jesus has for them. And if you have this gift of words of knowledge, you need to be open to people coming to you for counsel and support. Not being like, oh, what does this fool want now? Every week, he's got another problem. That's not what it's about. You need to be open and willing and want them to come to you because you have an opportunity to point them to Jesus. That's what it's about. And as people come to you, you need to be positive and compassionate and keep hope in front of them. And not say, well, guess you're a goner. Guess I won't be bothered by you next week. Or whatever, you know. But be open, be compassionate, be positive. And when you're pointing people to Jesus, it's very easy to be open and positive, isn't it? If you're not pointing people to Jesus and you're operating from self, it's much, much, much more challenging because you don't see the big picture. Jesus provides the big picture. Jesus provides the good picture. And the last thing I'm going to say here is to be sensitive to people's circumstances and struggles. Be sensitive to their circumstances and struggles. Because even as we point them to Jesus, even as we are positive with them, we still need to be sensitive because it might be clear as day from our perspective being on the outside looking in. But when you're on the inside trying to figure out a way out, it's not as easy, is it? It's one of those things where I remember that my dad got sick in 2000-ish, and people would come in and they'd try to be positive and they try to point you to Jesus, but they missed the side that I didn't know where to go. We didn't know where to go. We didn't know what to do. And so it's that perspective of when you come alongside with them and you journey with them, it's much easier to be sensitive to what's going on in their life and walking with them appropriately. Things to stay away from or avoid. Avoid being too simplistic or falsely optimistic. People's lives are complicated, so even when the answer seems simple and our attempts to express hope can feel like we're making all these big things in their lives seem so small. We need to be, as we journey with them, this goes hand in hand with just walking with them. Give grace and space for the process and journey that people are walking through. Don't expect them to change what's going on in their life like that. Like, has anybody ever had that come to them where somebody wants to speak into your life or say something to you and it needs a change. It needs like a 60-degree change or a 90-degree change in your life or your perspective. And they say, well, it's simple. Just do this, dummy. And that's how you feel, right? They're not saying dummy, but it's like, just do this. But you're not there yet. You don't understand it. And so as we express hope, we need to walk with them and journey with them as we give them space to transform their perspective. Because in the end, it is their perspective that needs to change. Because when they're looking at the negativeness and fear, we need to focus and turn our eyes on Jesus and the hope and the truth and the promises of His Word. And that's what we need to do as we journey with people. And I mean, at times it's scary. I go back to that example of my dad. And it took us time to get our eyes fixed off the situation of the doctor saying he's on life support. If he survives, he's got like a 3% chance of survival. And if he survives, his life is probably going to be a vegetable or he's going to be in intensive care for like a year, blah, blah, blah. And they just give you this. And it took time. People like, well, Jesus can still do a miracle. Did you not just hear the doctors, people? That's what I felt, right? And people are just giving this. And it took time for me to take my eyes and my family to take our eyes off of the situation of my dad lying in this bed, hooked up to all these machines that were doing his breathing, his kidney, all these different things. He's got all these machines, and they're doing all the work for him. And these people are telling me, just trust in Jesus. Right? It's hard. But when we took our eyes off of those machines and off of that situation, and we fixed our eyes fully on Jesus and started basing our life on the promises that are in His Word, our perspective started to change. And things started to change around us. And it wasn't just no longer, those machines are keeping him alive. But Jesus got him to this situation, and he was already in the process of healing, to the point where my dad was back to work in well less than a year. Before they even thought that he would be out of intensive care, he was back to working normal days. That's a miracle. When you have this gift of words of wisdom, avoid jumping in too quickly and jumping to a conclusion. How many here love to jump to conclusions? We need to avoid jumping in too quickly and jumping to conclusions too quickly. I'm guilty of this myself, right? I'll look at a situation and my job is to analyze and jump to the finish end. Oh yeah, this, well, you got to do this. But rather than listening and walking and journeying, we need to spend time walking with people and just listening to the Holy Spirit and walking with them. And don't become unnecessarily confrontational. Then we jump to the gifts of knowledge. The gift of the word of knowledge. It's also a God-given insight or understanding, allowing someone to understand the truth concerning a specific situation by supernatural revelation. The word of knowledge is receiving specific knowledge that you wouldn't have any natural way of knowing. So one is walking with people and journeying and having wisdom in how to speak into people's lives and giving them wisdom on how to deal with situations. This is the supernatural ability to speak into somebody's life that you've had no contact with and you just get a divine revelation from the Holy Spirit to say, he's going through this. You've got back pain. You've got this. Do you know what I'm saying? Is this clear? And this gift, it's a supernatural knowledge imparted onto you by the Holy Spirit. You're not smarter than the average bear, but you've been listening to the Holy Spirit, who is smarter than the average bear. Do you know what I'm saying? And we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. And this is not something you could have deduced by reason or natural perception. This does not make you Sherlock Holmes. Okay? This is you've taken time to settle your spirit and listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say in situations and gives you supernatural knowledge. All of this is in order to show God's heart towards the hearer and to give an open door for further revelation or divine encouragement to them. It can give details or insights that speak directly to a matter, and it's always meant to help the person take a step towards Jesus. And I don't know, I want to be clear, both of these gifts, and the reason I put them together is because in the end, the purpose is to help them walk towards Jesus and point them towards Jesus and what Jesus has for them. Both wisdom and knowledge work together to drive you towards Jesus. In order to align ourselves with the purpose of this gift, we have to allow insight to move from our head to our heart. We have to be willing to listen, we have to be willing to walk through it, and we have to be willing to work through it. Many of our gifts have a common motivator, a common denominator, common things that drive them. And once again, in this case, it is love. Love needs to be the motivator. It can't be pride, it can't be self-importance, it can't be, well, I'm going to show them a thing or two. It needs to be love. And love needs to be present when sharing the knowledge that the Holy Spirit has given you to pass on, to share with them. So if you have this gift of words of knowledge, if you feel you're activated in this gift, here's a few things for you to lean into. So you lean in, allow your love for people to drive your sharing. Your love for people. Because we know that God loves us all, right? We know that God loves each and every individual on this planet. He wants a relationship with them. That's why God sent his son. But in the end, this has to be your love for people. If you don't love people, you need to start loving people. You need to share your insight and understanding as often as the Lord leads you. allowing it to benefit as many people as possible. You need to share the knowledge that Christ has given you, the supernatural knowledge, and you need to share it because when the Holy Spirit speaks to you the supernatural knowledge, it's because somebody needs it. Right? It's not because, sometimes it's because you need it for your own understanding of your own gift, but most often it's because somebody really needs it. They need that love, and we need to be driven by that love. We need to be responsive when these words are given to you. We need to be studious of the word and observe the pattern and pictures that the Holy Spirit gives us. We need to spend time in the word if you have this gift. If you're not communing with God, if you're not spending time in his word, understanding his person, understanding who he is, understanding his characteristics, how can you expect to know his voice when he speaks to you? You need to spend time in his word. You need to share your insight, the supernatural insight you've been given, freely, with openness, and with inclusion. Share it freely. I'll keep that for later. It's not one of those. It's you get it, you give it with love, okay? Some things to stay away for. This one goes without saying, this first one, and I've said it, I think, with every week. But watch out for spiritual pride. Do not let spiritual pride set in. Oh, you fools. The Holy Spirit tells me this every day. You guys are just not tuned in enough for him. Bunch of dummies. It's not what it's like, right? It's, you share it with love, and you continue to press in because it has nothing to do with your level of knowledge. This is supernatural knowledge given to you. It's a big difference. Make sure that you move from that head knowledge to that heart knowledge. If you're sitting there not doing anything, any work with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to move from head knowledge to heart knowledge. You need to move. One of the most misused pieces of this gift that I find that people do and that I've done in the past is drive-bys. You know what I mean by drive-by? What's a drive-by shooting? You drive by and you shoot a couple bullets at the house and you race off, right? Well, it's like coming with a word of knowledge to somebody and giving them a couple bullets and then taking off and not actually walking with them. Because you don't, when you do that, you're not loving. You're not able to walk and journey. And these both require walking and journeying. They both require somebody being willing to invest time. And I've shared it with you guys before. I think I did. If not, I'll share with you now. But I remember Rick Johnson, who is an author and a speaker, and I was at a Promise Keepers event, and he said, how do you spell time to your kids? Or love to your kids? Now I got the whole story mixed up, but you're going to get the... How do you spell love to your kids? And it was T-I-M-E, time. I thought he was an idiot, because I'm like, it's simple, it's L-O-V-E. And then he said T-I-M-E. Anyways, time equals love. When you are spend time with somebody and you're not just drive-by sharing words of knowledge and you're actually investing, spending time and expressing love to them, you have such an opportunity to make a bigger impact in someone's life. Don't avoid spending time and allowing and helping the person that you're speaking into understand and hear a new revelation through it. Don't avoid just dropping the word of knowledge and running away. Spend time, help them understand, help them hear. And if you have this gift, don't remain inactive. Don't be silent in helping hurting people to both hear and understand the word that the Lord has for them. Speak when you have that word. Be cognizant of that word, though, too. Don't just loosely throw things out, but test it and then speak it. Okay? That's all I got this week. I think, in my estimation, these two gifts go hand in hand. And in my belief as believers, is we all have one of these two gifts in our lives. But the problem is we're either A, too fearful to utilize them, or B, we're not spending enough time with the Father by in prayer and in His Word to actually know the voice, to know when it is time to speak them, and to know what is the word for that. Because there's been times where I was like, I don't have that gift. And I'll just be sitting with someone, and all of a sudden, like, this word will just come on me, and I'm like, where did that come from? What the heck? And it's something that we as believers need to journey through and listen. Use our as I say to my kids, let's use our listening ears. And Stacy says to me, let's use our listening ears and listen to what the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us so we can speak and encourage others. Because our job is to encourage each other, encourage the church to build it up and prepare each other for our ministry, right? And if we're not listening and sharing in love, because listening and love go together, just like speaking and love go together, it needs to be done together. So I encourage you, as we leave today, and as you, even as you spend time this week with the Lord, and as you spend time in His Word, listen to what He has for you and others around you. I'll tell you, it's really a neat thing when you spend time listening and then you can speak a word of knowledge over somebody that's a non-believer even. Boy, that gets attention. And it's a great opportunity that we have as the church to show the love of Christ to them. Because you know what it shows? It shows that they matter. And it's important. Just like we all matter. And that's why we need to listen for those words of knowledge and wisdom. I'm going to invite you guys to stand. God, we love you. Father, we lift up your name. God, we thank you that you speak to us in real ways today through your Holy Spirit. God, we thank you that you continue to lead us and guide us and direct us in our lives today. And God, I pray that as your church, as a church that wants to advance your kingdom, both here in Rosetown, here within our four walls, in our province and in our nation, God, I pray that we would be a people that would listen and speak your words with love. That we would want to have an impact and touch people's lives wherever we are at. And God, I pray that we would be a people that invest our time in you so that you will invest your word in us. God, I pray that we will know your words, know your voice when you speak to us those words of knowledge and wisdom. And God, I pray that we would be a people willing to step in and take the time to speak those words. God, I know that as these words and these impartations come to us, God, I know sometimes they're scary, sometimes they're hard. Sometimes they require us to slow down, Father, but I pray that we would just slow down and just listen. That we would move in these gifts that you give us, and that we would be effective ministers of your gospel. God, I thank you for each and every individual here today, God. And God, I thank you that we as a church, we as your church, are getting more and more prepared each day to advance your kingdom, and that we are being a people who are obedient and are advancing. God, that we wouldn't be here for self-preservation or self-importance, Father, but that we would be here for your importance, for your glory, for your name. And God, as we get these words of wisdom, Father, and these words of knowledge, Father, I pray that we would invest the time in sharing them with each other and with others. God, that we wouldn't be a people who drive by knowledge drop, but we would be a people who invest in relationships as we share your words. And God, for those that might have been hurt in the past through these, the people with these gifts that just didn't know how to utilize them and how to fully walk in them, God, I pray that you would just soften their hearts, Father. God, that those that might have been hurt by religiousness, Father, that they would have their hearts restored and renewed, Father. And God, that there would be a level of trust built up again. And that your love and your knowledge would speak through others to them. And Father, that they would supernaturally experience your healing on their hearts and on their spirits. Father, I pray that as we've walked through these past number of weeks of just trying to hear about and understand your gifts, God, that you have for each of us, God, I pray that revelation will be happening and is happening and has happened and will continue to happen through the next few weeks, God. God, I pray that as we journey through it, Father, that you would impart ideas on our head, God, and on our spirits, Father, that are of you, and allow us insight and foresight, Father, into reaching this community for you. Not for the sake of Rosetown Community Church, but for the sake of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our hearts, our sins, to make our hearts close to the Father, to bring us closer to the Father, to restore us to the Father, to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for walking with us and softening our hearts and preparing our hearts for this. And God, I pray that we would be opening to your work. I pray that we would be a people open to that work. And that we would be a people who are ready to get it done. You. God, I pray that this week as we leave these walls, as we go offline and we start communicating and visiting with people from within the church or outside of the church, God, I pray that we will be a people who are starting to advance that kingdom and we are ministering to our communities wherever we're at. God, I pray that we would just walk forward in this blessings and in your promises and be prepared to do the good work you've called us to do. So God, we thank you once again. We thank you for your leading. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your goodness and the good week we're about to have. And God, we praise you and thank you for each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know this has been a different series. And I'm not apologizing for that at all, so don't think I am. But something I haven't done in the past few weeks is I haven't given an opportunity for anybody watching online or anybody in here that wants to know Jesus and wants to restore that relationship with God in their lives. And maybe the Holy Spirit's been stirring you this week or one of the past few weeks or while you're watching online or just throughout this that you need to get some things in order with him. And maybe you're like, I can see this need in my life for God, and I have this hole in my heart, and you feel like now is the right time to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and for you to believe on him. And so what we're going to do now is we're just going to take an opportunity. So if you don't know Jesus and you want to know Jesus, I'm going to invite you just to repeat this prayer after me. And then when we're done and I'm at the back door, come and talk to me. I'd love to give you a Bible or just talk to you and get you plugged in wherever you might be. Or if you're online, message me and I'd love to talk to you and send you a Bible and just communicate with you and connect with you and just talk about connections. And if you're here and you already know Jesus and maybe you want to rededicate your life, I want you also just to pray this prayer with that understanding and on your heart. And for everybody else, as I've always asked you guys to do, would you just repeat this prayer with me so that if somebody around you is accepting Jesus or rededicating their life, so they're not alone because we're journeying through this together. So would you just repeat after me if you're ready to go from that kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light and ask Jesus into your heart and believe on him, just repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place, to take every punishment and curse. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Take away the sins and make me new in you. Because from today on, I'm chasing after you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or you're rededicating your life, contact me at the church, 306-882-2453, or just email me at lead@rosetownchurch.ca, and I'd love to connect with you. Guys, I pray that this series has been an encouragement to you. I pray that this series has been so far helping you realize some areas that you can press into and areas that you need to hold back on, and just different gifting ideas. I pray that this has brought some revelation to you. I know for me, as I've studied it and spent time over the past number of months just looking at it and trying to figure out the best way to present this and being led by the Holy Spirit through it, I feel for myself I've learned so much. And it's been very encouraging for me. So I pray that it's been encouraging for you. So I just want to say have a great week and God bless, and we will see you all next week. Guys, I'm going to invite you to stay standing, and we're going to sing a couple songs. The music team's going to come up. But I really want, like I said during the message, I want this to be a time of growth for us. And maybe things that we never thought of as gifts, to be clear that they are where they are and that they are gifts and they are important, and that creates an important piece of the puzzle of this church of Jesus and what he's called us to be as a church. So I pray that you're encouraged. While we're singing these last couple songs, the altars are open if you need.